Now, with one press conference and one list of countries placed alongside a set of seemingly random figures, the US President Donald Trump has caused a massive upset in global trade. As of today, a 10% tariff on all imports into the United States is in place, and from next Wednesday, the 20% tariff on EU imports will take effect. Europe is in something of a holding pattern this weekend, hoping to make progress in negotiations with American counterparts, but also preparing to possibly retaliate by imposing counter tariffs on US goods. Here, the government has been warned by the employer group like the Irish Business and Employers Confederation, or IBEC, that short-time working hours may be put in place in some companies starting this weekend, and that staff cutbacks may also be unavoidable. Simon Coveney is a former minister in many departments, but for the purposes of the national and international conversation right now, it's probably most pertinent that he was Minister of Foreign Affairs and Trade during the lengthy and difficult Brexit negotiations. Good afternoon to you, Simon Coveney.
Good afternoon, Colin. Thanks for having me on.
This has all come in a bit of a rush. There is less time to adjust to this than with the Brexit negotiations, but the EU's point man is Maroš Šefčovič. What insight do you have into the approach he might take and how his relations are with his US counterparts?
Well, I mean, first of all, Maroš Šefčovič is a very calm, calculated individual. He's not going to have a knee-jerk or an emotional reaction. There'll be a lot of pressure on him from EU capitals who all have different interests in terms of how the EU should and needs to respond. But I think he's been clear, and I think President von der Leyen has been clear, they're going to do nothing quickly. They're going to look to negotiate with the US, which I think, and I mean, this is just me, but I think that what President Trump has done this week is so radical and so dramatic and makes so little sense from an economic and trade perspective, that you would have to think that this is partly a negotiating strategy, which isn't unusual for President Trump. You know, he acts first, does something dramatic, causes huge disruption, and then looks to put pieces together through negotiation after that, and pulls back on some of the original decisions. Like, that is the form that we've seen. So I think the EU is taking the right approach. They've said very little, apart from that the EU will respond. We're going to look to negotiate, but we're also going to make it very clear to the US that the EU has significant cards to play if they choose to retaliate in a way that counterbalances or responds to the scale of what the US has done. I mean, just to give listeners a sense of the scale of what Donald Trump has actually announced, you know, last year, in terms of imports into the US, there was from the EU, it was about 600 billion euros of exports into the US from the EU. There was about 7 billion euros of tariffs charged on that. With the current tariffs that have been announced, it'll be over 80 billion. So it's increased over tenfold in the space of a year. And there is no way that the European Union can allow that to simply pass without responding in a very robust manner if the US refuses to negotiate in a reasonable way.
I suppose the hope was that talk of tariffs would be the opening gambit in negotiations. Ultimately, they've come, which I suppose the lesson to draw from that is prepare for the worst. And, you know, with Chinese retaliation already in play and European retaliation possibly coming down the tracks, that leaves some Irish businesses very vulnerable. So, you know, everybody's talking about controlling the controllables. Is it time to put the kind of supports in place that we saw during COVID or indeed Brexit to make sure that businesses here can weather the storm?
Well, I mean, look, the first thing I'd say is that President Trump and the team around him don't negotiate in a normal way. So, you know, we're not seeing the normal channels of diplomacy where a large superpower like the US reaches out to its friends and allies and trading partners and says, look, this is why we need to change things. Instead, we've had a dramatic announcement then a hint that the US is willing to take calls from capitals around the world to discuss them. That is a very aggressive way to negotiate, but it's something we need to get used to for the next few years in relation to the relationship with Washington. In terms of the impact on Ireland, so far, there hasn't been an announcement in relation to tariffs on pharmaceuticals. 60%, in fact, slightly more than 60% of our exports to the US are in the pharma sector. So that is, if you're looking for some positive news from this week, that's positive. Although let's wait and see what happens in the next few weeks in relation to pharma.
Yeah, well, I mean, Howard Lutnick has said it is to come. The Taoiseach has already said that he expects it to come. So in terms of, and you talked about a multi-year time frame on these negotiations. You know, for the other 40% of businesses that aren't pharma, what supports do you think should be in place to support them?
Well, I mean, I think the government should be willing to put supports in place. What we don't want to see here is large-scale redundancies or people being forced out of a job because exporting companies have to diversify into new markets, and that will take some time. So if, for example, the Irish whiskey industry or the Irish dairy industry has to diversify away from the US market because these tariffs make our products uncompetitive in terms of pricing, well, then you've got to give time to do that. It makes no sense to force companies to lay skilled people off who know how to export and know how to produce quality product when we know that in time we will find new markets. So certainly the government should be open to putting short-term supports in place for specific sectors that we know are being impacted and we can show in terms of data are being impacted. And I think the obvious areas are in relation to food and beverage, where we have significant volumes going into the US. About 1.7 billion euros of food and drink is sold into the US now. A lot of that is relatively low margin. And so if you get a significant tariff being applied onto those products, you will certainly see a reduction in demand in the US from them. And so we need to respond to that by supporting those businesses, keeping that capacity intact, while those companies, and they're well able to do it, by the way, because they're very streetwise in terms of global trade, while they explore and take advantage of new markets that open up over time.
All right. At the risk of inducing traumatic flashbacks, if you could put your Brexit hat back on, you know, there is now a border differential between a different tariff applying on either side of the border, the Windsor framework requiring Northern Ireland to apply the EU retaliatory tariffs should they come. I mean, have people really got their head around how that will play out? And what are the implications, as you see them at this point, for Irish businesses?
Yeah, so, I mean, there is a significant issue there. So, I mean, as a result of what President Trump has announced, products coming from Northern Ireland are being exported out of Northern Ireland into the US will have a 10% tariff. Products coming from the Republic of Ireland into the US will have a 20% tariff. That is obviously putting those businesses south of the border that are providing similar product at a significant disadvantage. And we have an all-island economy, particularly in terms of food and drink, that operates as one economy, if you like. So we're going to have to look at how we can respond to that in terms of the disadvantage that businesses, like if you take a whiskey manufacturer, for example, or a whiskey producer in the north versus the south, there's an issue there. That problem could be compounded, though, if the EU applies retaliatory tariffs. Well, then, under the Windsor framework, if the EU has tariffs, they need to be applied in Northern Ireland as well, because product coming into Northern Ireland is effectively coming into the EU single market and could end up in Prague or Poland or anywhere. So the tariff has to apply. And so that is going to create some tension, and we need to work through that. There are structures to work through those kind of issues within the Windsor framework, and they need to be used. What we don't need is a knee-jerk reaction or politicians trying to capitalize on the tension that may come on the back of, let's face it, an external actor imposing ridiculous tariffs, quite frankly, on transatlantic trade. And so this is part, I think, of what Simon Harris needs to talk to Howard Lutnick about next week when he meets him in Washington. Now, the one thing I would finally say in terms of the negotiation more generally, we do need to be careful. And the big lesson of Brexit is that Ireland should not try to bilateralize this trade discussion. This is an EU trade negotiation with the US. And as part of the EU, we have significant clout and scale. And we should primarily focus on ensuring that the EU understands the Irish specific issues and factors those in. And we are very fortunate to have Maros Sefcovic leading the negotiation because he understands Ireland probably better than any other EU politician outside of Ireland.
And what other countries do you think there's an opportunity for Ireland to coalesce with on specific issues? The Giorgia Meloni, the Italian Prime Minister, is very much of the view that there shouldn't be retaliatory tariffs in her public statements so far. There are other other countries within the European Union, Scandinavian countries, Holland as well, which don't want to see any fallout for pharma, etc., etc. So
there's a strong group of countries in the EU that believe in free and open trade globally, that want to reduce trade barriers where they can because they're exporting companies, but they also import as well. So the Netherlands, the Benelux countries generally, the Scandinavian countries. You know, Ireland has a very good relationship with those countries. We've worked hard in the context of protecting against the re-emergence of protectionism in the context of the transatlantic tensions that we've seen in recent years. And so Ireland is a voice that's listened to when it comes to trade with the US because we have so many interests and I think have a good knowledge also in terms of how Washington works.
Right.
So we should be using all of those. But let's not forget we're dealing, even though it's the same president as we had in the first Trump administration, the people around President Trump now are very different to the ones that we would previously have been speaking to, people like Wilmer Ross, Mike Pence, Mike Pompeo, Rex Tillerson. Like they were logical people who understood global trade and had an interest in practical discussion. The kind of people around Donald Trump today are much more ideological about trade and the US relationship with the rest of the world, and that makes it a lot more challenging.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much, Simon Coven, former Minister for Foreign Affairs and Trade during the Brexit negotiations. Now, still with me and listening to all of that are Minister of State and Fianna Fáil TD, Timmy Dooley, Louise O'Reilly of Sinn Féin and Paul Murphy from People Before Profit. Timmy Dooley, you heard what Simon Coven had to say there, you know, about controlling the controllables, but the calls for business supports, which is well within the government control and at the moment within government resources, is a bit of clarity needed on that. If you go through, you know, some of the papers today, both in their explicit statements expressing caution or, you know, even the front of the Irish Times today, speaking to Pat Leahy and Jack Horgan-Jones, say senior coalition sources, they say, were adamant there would be no return to COVID-style schemes to counter the blow. Is there clarity needed on this?
Well, I think there's a necessity just to exercise a little bit of caution and calm. And even the notion of comparing the COVID situation with what's evolving now as a result of the decision of the US president to introduce tariffs is creating a hype that I think is unnecessary. Clearly, there will be a fallout from the imposition of tariffs. It's yet to be clear what the tariffs ultimately will be. As Simon and others have clearly said, the expectation is now that we're entering or hopefully entering a phase of discussion and negotiation that will ultimately give us a picture as to where we're going. Of course, the state will stand by the workforce of those that are affected and the companies affected. And as Simon rightly identified, it's about assisting companies that are going to be most dramatically affected in focusing on new markets. And in the first instance, Enterprise Ireland and other state agencies are very well versed in assisting companies through that difficult period. So, like, successive governments have never been found wanting when it comes to address major shocks to the system. So I think what we need to focus on right now is, from a government perspective, is in working with our European partners to, in the first instance, not overreact, get into a negotiation phase if that can happen, and also be mindful that the EU will be working towards making it clear to the US administration that they want to engage proactively, they want to try to address the issues that are there, and if other more more difficult measures have to be addressed, well, then let that be at a later stage.
Say there's an export company and they're having a conversation with a customer in the US and they're having the difficult conversation about who bears the burden of the tariffs. The supplier on this end might say, we'll take a hit to our bottom line, and the importer says, we'll take a hit to our bottom line. But in order to know how much of a hit they can take, they need to have forward planning. And in order to plan forward, they need to know what their staff costs are going to be. And in order to have a full picture of that, they're going to need what the quantum of government support is going to be. Now, rather than be reactive, is it not better off to plan for the worst case scenario and have at least the structure of possible supports in mind so that that can be communicated to business owners.
But I have no doubt that EI are engaged and state agencies are engaged with client companies at this stage.
Why doesn't Danny McCoy know about that then, if that engagement is happening?
Well, as you know, both employers and unions were in government buildings yesterday with the Taoiseach and Tánaiste and key ministers in a forum to discuss all of this. And let's be honest, this announcement was only made on Tuesday, so it takes a little bit of time to work through the details.
But decisions are being made as soon as this weekend, according to Danny McCoy, to put people on shorter hours. So it's the clarity piece that's missing.
Yeah, and engagement with government. I mean, there isn't going to be a one-size-fits-all. It's not like taking a scheme from the shelf here and presenting it to the public at large. They will have to be tailored for different sectors. And I have every confidence in the state agencies to work with the companies and the sectors that are most affected. And it's very clear, doesn't take an expert to recognise, that there's significant funds available to address the crises that may emerge here and to try and smoothen the impact on companies and to work towards finding new markets and working through that. So, I mean, we've got to do this in an element of a calm. I mean, we've got to be careful too. And there's a responsibility on Danny McCoy and all of us.
The markets aren't calm, Timmy Dooley, with respect. Trillions have fallen off several stock markets. There are figures being published today that say $60 billion has been wiped off the value of Irish pensions. You know, businesses are not in a calm environment when it comes to what the investment outlook is.
No, I accept that. And the markets have shown massive volatility in the US as well, and that will play out there politically as well. But there is a very clear programme from the government's perspective that they will engage and they will intervene and they will smoothen the difficult period ahead for companies concerned. But the point I was trying to make here, Colm, is this. We've got to be careful too that we don't instill further lack of confidence in consumer spending both domestically. So when we get to a point where we start hyping things to a point where people who have money, who are not going to be impacted at all by this, start to get concerned and start to hold back their own spending.
I want to go to our other panellist, Louise O'Reilly. On the issue of supports for business at the moment, what's your view?
Well, I mean, what we're seeing, what Donald Trump is doing at the moment is can best be described as an act of self-sabotage. It will heap additional costs on top of ordinary workers and families in the US. And there's absolutely no suggestion, I don't think, from anyone that we should join in with that tactic. What we should be doing at this stage now is ensuring that there is a very early assessment of the impact, because what we had was the announcement and the chart and all that went along with that. What we don't have is a massive amount of detail. So we need to ensure that we do the assessment on where the impact is going to fall and where it's going to fall hardest. The supports that will be necessary, that may be necessary, are going to be a combination of domestic supports from the government here and also from the European Union. I think we need to see contingency planning now to make sure that should those supports be needed for industries and workers, that they are ready and that they're capable of being deployed quickly, because this is a very fast-moving situation. But in the first instance, what we want to see the assessment. And then we also need to start looking at how we're going to de-risk our economy and mitigate the impact of the tariffs. Because, you know, much of the fact that we are vulnerable to external shocks is the result of the failure of the government to plan, the failure of the government to invest in the energy grid, the failure of the government to build affordable housing,
Your own party going back to 2018 was cautioning against putting as much as government was putting into future funds or so-called rainy day funds. Your party was questioning the wisdom of putting as much as was being put in there. But this is one of these rainy days now, and the resources that are there may not have been there had that advice been listened to.
And the risks that are here may not be here had the investment taken place. So we are vulnerable, and people need to be very, very clear about this. The vulnerability that exists on this island is there in large part, because of a government failure to invest in critical infrastructure to ensure that we have affordable housing and to ensure that we have access to water, and also that we can expand. The grid is at capacity, and we haven't seen a consequent investment. So when we talk about de-risking ourselves from the the impact of these tariffs and putting ourselves on a sound footing, we need to examine the failure by successive governments to invest in that critical infrastructure.
Okay, Paul Murphy, what support should be available for people who may be put on short time or worse from this weekend?
Yeah, ordinary workers must not be made to pay the price for what is coming or what is very likely to be coming. I think the talk that it's hype to begin speaking about these things is utterly wrong. At the very least, we're likely to see a renewed cost of living crisis as inflation ramps up again. And also quite possible that we are plunged into a significant world recession. That's what the stock markets are now pricing in. So what does that look like? Immediately, I think we need a proper short-time working scheme like they have in Germany, which doesn't just mean that you can get the dole for the days that you're not working, but enables you to get a reasonable percentage of your current income subsidised by the state. I mean, it's a matter of weeks since the government has said we're not doing the cost of living supports again, and yet we're going back into a cost of living crisis. That decision, at the very least, needs to be reversed. So we need to have, for example, the energy credits, again, as an extremely minimal measure to ensure that workers aren't going to be hit by it. But there are much broader points about the lack of sustainability and the vulnerability of the Irish economy, which successive Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael governments have gotten us into.
All right. Although if you're going to get into the past, I mean, you're a member of a party that advocated for Brexit. And if we were outside the European Union now, we'd be on 34% tariff rates, which would leave us far more vulnerable.
But we are going to be subject to the whims of German and French capital on this issue, right? And their interests are not the interests. The German and French governments and the European Commission are not the interests of ordinary workers in Ireland, nor, I would say, workers in Germany.
But that was a bet the Brexiteers made as well. They thought European decisions would be governed by the decisions of the French, German and Italian auto industries, and ultimately that didn't happen.
But that is what is likely. I mean, the reason you're likely to have an aggressive response by the EU, and the Irish influence in this is going to be quite small, because of the Lisbon Treaty, which makes trade a European competence and means there's no vetoes, it's qualified majority voting. That means because of the German auto industry, because of French exporting, which is predominantly machinery to the US, they are likely to go for a more aggressive strategy, which threatens cost of living crisis for workers here and for workers across Europe. And so, like, that is also a failure that. And it's like, you know, you look at what happened in the banking crisis. We ultimately paid the price for the European banking crisis. Otherwise, a bomb would go off in Dublin and so on. And we're facing the same sort of situation because of what Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have done.
Timmy Dooley, what possible support will there be on a Europe-wide basis for any impact on European business arising from either EU decisions to take retaliatory tariffs or in the current context where it just remains at US tariffs?
No, I think the first thing that the European Union are doing is waiting to see if they can enter the negotiation phase, because notwithstanding that chart which we all saw presented in the Rose Garden that listed country by country and then the UK and the EU, there is an expectation, there's a genuine expectation that there is a phase ahead now, that if we keep calm, don't get over reactionary, and that get into a negotiation phase. And that's very much the approach that the Irish government are taking in consort with like-minded members of the European Union. And it's at the other side of that negotiation period that we'll understand then what the impact analysis is on our domestic economy and our national companies. And it's at that stage then that we work towards putting in place a scheme of measures that meet their needs and expectations as they pivot towards
identifying new markets. How is Ireland working actively to shape the European decision rather than waiting for what that European decision might be?
Well, there's a very significant dialogue. The Taoiseach, both before and after and on quite a number of occasions, has been in discussion with the President of the Commission, Ursula von der Leyen. I know that the Taoiseach, through his role as Minister for Foreign Affairs and with responsibility for trade, has been in regular contact with Mara Sefcovic, Commissioner Sefcovic, I should say. So that dialogue is ongoing on a daily basis at ministerial...
The,
government level and at ambassadorial level. So
I do want to ask you about some of the, you know, some of what's going on the international level. The Tánaiste is in meeting with EU trade ministers in Luxembourg on Monday, and then off to meet the US Secretary of Commerce Howard Lutnick, and Martin Hayden, the Minister for Agriculture, is going to meet his US counterpart as well. Is he going to have something to say to the US, or is he going to be listening to US demands that Europe needs to take US beef and US chicken?
Well, I don't have any more information than you have on that. I read that report this morning. I wasn't talking to the Tánaiste. I know that my colleague, Minister Hayden, had already, for a number of months now, a trade mission already organised to the US. And that was part of his ongoing dialogue in the United States. So this isn't a reactionary measure per se. I think it's good diplomacy. But I'm mindful of what Simon Coveney said. The ultimate negotiator here is the EU on our behalf. Our best approach is as part of that bloc. Very clearly, and Commissioner Šefčovič has responsibility and is in, you know, regular contact with. I think he spoke with Howard Ludwig yesterday, and that dialogue is ongoing. And we've got to see ourselves as being very much part of the European bloc. Whatever negotiations will take place, whatever the ultimate outcome, whatever the ultimate character and nature of the tariffs will be defined by discussions, negotiations, and hopefully an agreement between the bloc of EU countries. And the United States. And of course, within there will be different emphasis within the different European states. But I think we have a good diplomatic story to tell. We've been very good at it over the years, and I'd have great confidence in our negotiators there.
Louise O'Reilly, from on that bilateral level, you know, obviously the European Union has the competence for doing trade negotiations, but what should the Tánaiste and the Minister for Agriculture be saying to their US counterparts when they're over there?
Well, I mean, I think they need to make it very clear that we have a unique position within this island. I also think they need to focus domestically on what they can do, and those things that, you know, there's a lot of talk about the government should be engaged in controlling that which they can control. Well, we have, and Simon Coveney referred to it, we have an all-island economy that has taken a lot of effort and energy from people to build up. So we now have the possibility that, you know, we need to see the Dublin government working hand in hand with the executive in Stormont, with my colleague Caoimhe Archibald, with the First Minister Michelle O'Neill, and ensuring that to the greatest extent possible, the unique all-island economy that we have here is protected. But you're talking about what they can control. There's a couple of things they can do, and the first of that is to convene an urgent meeting of the North-South Ministerial Council. Now, that request was made last Thursday by my colleague Piers Doherty directly to the Tánaiste and Minister for Foreign Affairs. So we want to see that done, and that done without delay, because there are some unique elements here on this island that have to be protected.
On that bilateral level, with the US speaking to their counterparts, what should the Tánaiste Minister for Agriculture be saying?
I think both bilaterally and within the European Union, we need to be clear that health, safety and environmental standards cannot be sacrificed to appease Trump. Clearly an aggressive interest of the US is agriculture. They want to export chlorine washed chicken. They want to export beef that is pumped full of hormones and antibiotics. They want to export pigs fed ractopamine into the European Union. There are very good health and safety reasons why we do not accept products like that, and I think those cannot be sacrificed. And similarly, we should not, and already von der Leyen has gone down this road, we should not be saying, oh, we'll take a load of LNG, the dirtiest fossil fuel on Earth, once you take into account the costs of transporting it and so on. The idea that we should abandon our climate commitments to appease Trump makes no sense at all.
And no part of you welcomes the crisis in capitalism and the turmoil in the markets?
Well, I think it is an indication of this system is really rotten at this stage. You know, because I mean, the point was made earlier about Simon Coveney said the current people are ideological. I mean, the last people were ideological too. It's just the ideology of neoliberalism has broken down. Okay. But obviously, Trump represents a move to the right from that, not a move to the left. Right. But we need to have a fundamentally different type of economy, an economy that's planned for people's needs on an eco-socialist basis.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a minute. We're going to be looking at those events outside the Dáil earlier in the week where protesters from the Mothers Against Genocide group were forcibly removed from the gates of Leinster House. Back in a minute.
Saturday with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.